film the program that we were already producing. So there was this kind of natural progression.
Exactly. And we're speaking this morning with David Pakman, host of the David Pakman Show, a self-described progressive program. In that vein, in terms of talking about political outlook, much has been made in recent months about the role of media, especially covering the national political scene. What are your thoughts on how progressive media can address the national scene, and is it a tool of organizing, or do you see it as a tool of reflection?
Well, ideally, it would be both. I mean, there's no doubt that it's important to reflect and analyze what's going on politically, but ideally, you would have independent progressive media also talking to their audience about how people can get involved and when there's opportunities for engagement. And engagement could be reaching out to elected officials. It could be voting in a particular race. It could be sort of making one's opinion known through financial contributions or by withholding financial contributions in certain cases. So I think that there's no reason that we can't have a sort of all of the above approach where we're doing all of these things. We're informing, we're discussing, and we're also activating.
It seems since January, we are in a new political world here in the United States, and some of us might think that in terms of materials to cover, the Republicans and the president is the gift that just continues giving. How are you addressing the new national political scene?
Well, there are difficulties in making decisions about covering the current administration because on the one hand, we're seeing so much that's just on the fringes of what would ever have been considered even remotely reasonable in the history of American politics, and it's really important to cover that. At the same time, and I've talked about this before on my program, when everything is a scandal, in a sense, nothing is a scandal. It all blends together, and individual incidents that in prior administrations would have been 24-hour-a-day scandals barely make a blip on the radar now because we're sort of becoming desensitized to what's going on.
Yes.
So my approach is to really try to, we want to have an entertaining program and bring in viewers, but really to try to focus on the longer-term implications of what we're seeing. And so when we're talking about, for example, healthcare, we'll talk about the bizarre and zany things that will come out of the Trump administration, but we'll also sort of talk about the broader context of the type of healthcare system we have, the systems that other countries have, and the differences, similarities, and try to sort of take a broader and longer term approach to a lot of these issues.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. We're speaking this morning, and I'm Cecil Prescott. We're speaking this morning with David Pakman, the host of the David Pakman Show, which is a daily internationally syndicated political and news talk show airing on radio, television, the internet, on Free Speech TV, DirecTV, Dish Network, just many, many platforms. And we would like to explore a little bit in terms of the national political scene, where you mentioned where in normal times things which might have been a scandal has certainly been normalized here with this current administration. How do you think that are the best ways to focus and not be, as you suggested, be sent way off field and just able to grab a hold of addressing the political scene we are in? How should we focus on the Trump administration?
Well, I think there's a couple different answers to that, and it depends on whether we're talking sort of at the day-to-day or in terms of activating for the next election. I think there's a couple different answers to that. I mean, I think certainly it's really, really important to maintain focus on where we can have an impact. So this is pretty wide-ranging. I mean, there's a couple of gubernatorial elections this year. We've got the midterms in 2018. There's also the census, which is going to be happening in 2020, and the census is going to play a really big role in determining how districts are redrawn, probably in 2021. So immediately and understandably, many people, when Donald Trump was elected, started focusing on the presidential election of 2020. And of course, that's important. But in the meantime, and even in 2020, there's a lot more that can be done. And I think it's really, really important to be fully aware of every area where individuals can be involved, because as important as the presidential election is, there's a lot of other ways in which different elected officials can make decisions that impact us on a day-to-day basis.
Recently, we saw people becoming active in recent congressional elections throughout the nation, one in Georgia and the other I forget right now. But as you said, in terms of looking forward not only towards 2020, but the midterms election and the census that's coming up. Now, most of our governors are held by Republicans and state legislature are mostly Republicans. How do you think progressive, should they focus on what we have right now, the few governors and state houses and legislatures that progressive have a hold on to, or is there a way in which they can turn the tide in terms of so-called red states and legislatures?
Well, there's a couple aspects to that, and it's pretty complex. I mean, on the one hand, there's no doubt that Republicans have been out-organizing Democrats at the very local level for many years now. I mean, I don't know exactly how many years, but many, many years. And this is, you know, when we're talking about not the House of Representatives or the Senate, but state legislatures, state senates, et cetera, if you want to have a better shot at turning governor's races towards Democrats, you have to have a really strong foundation at the state legislature and state senate level. And in many states, Democrats have not had that. But it's not just about pointing the finger at Democrats for not organizing well, because the way in which districts are drawn, in other words, a process called gerrymandering, currently favors Republicans pretty significantly. I interviewed a professor who's an expert about this named Bill Oglesby recently, and also did sort of a mini documentary about this subject. And even if Democrats, or not even if, Democrats in many congressional elections recently have earned more than 50% of all the votes, but still end up with less than half of the seats. And this is because of how districts are drawn unfairly.
Yes.
And as I mentioned earlier, these districts are drawn shortly after each census. And in 2010, of course, Republicans were able to control that process in many, many states. So in part, we can sort of point the finger at Democrats for being out-organized at the local level, but also the way that districts are drawn has been very, very antagonistic.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott on this KBOO community radio station. Our guest this morning is David Pakman, the host of the David Pakman Show, which is a daily program that focus on national and scenes. Our phone number here is 503-231-8187. We'll have David for a few more minutes, so if you'd like to call and comment on what we have spoken about or ask David a question, please do so. We have one caller right now, and let's go speak with Camilo. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for this broadcast and taking my call. I simply want to announce that today at the May Day demonstration at Shemansky Park, Buddhists will gather at 1 p.m. for a walking meditation, and look for the Buddhist Peace Fellowship banner and join us there. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for bringing up May Day as a point of organizing. Yesterday, there were hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C. about the climate change. Many people will be out in various places this day, May Day, focusing on particularly on immigrant rights. David,
we had 1,000 people on Saturday at the Portland People's Climate Change.
Climate Change, yeah, exactly. David, certainly people are organizing. We saw after the inauguration, hundreds of thousands of people throughout the nations. We mentioned the climate change activism that took place. And today, May Day, many people are organizing in their community. What do you have any thoughts on the effectiveness of mass rallies?
Well, there's no doubt that historically there's lots of successes that we can point to in terms of mass rallies, and there's also lots of mass rallies that none of us remember because they haven't been particularly effective. I think that peacefully assembling in protest is one of the most American things that anybody can do. That being said, I think it's really important that the protests, rallies, and organizing have a particular focus, and I think that if we look at the protests and rallies that have taken place since Donald Trump has been elected, there's no doubt that there's been no shortage of energy and enthusiasm, but there hasn't always been what I would consider the most productive or specific focus. So my advice would be that as much as possible, when we have these rallies, we really are thinking about, what is it that we're rallying for? What action are we trying to sort of catalyze and coalesce people around? Because, you know, it takes a lot of energy to put these rallies and protests together, and we want to make sure that as much as possible, the energy is being channeled into action as much as possible.
Excellent. You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. I'm here with my co-host, Celeste Carey, who has just joined us. We're speaking with David Pakman, host of The David Pakman Show, which is a daily internationally syndicated political and news talk program that airs on various platforms. We have David for a few more minutes. If you have a question or comments, give us a call at 503-231-8187.
So one of the questions that I had wanted to ask David was how you gather some of your information. I know a lot of our listeners are really curious as to some of the best or good sources of information for liberal, progressive, left-leaning ideologies and philosophies and politics. And so I wanted to kind of draw out how you pull in your information, some of your good sources, and why we should have folks add you to the mix.
Yeah, well, I think the question you're asking is a really important one, particularly in the time of not only fake news, but also propaganda news, which are two different things, both
Oh, yes.
Really important things to understand. You know, without naming, I hesitate to just list media outlets or sources that I use specifically because, you know, they're number one, there's so many that are good, and number two, we have to be skeptical of all media sources, including mm-hmm. my program, including your program, et cetera. I think a couple of general guidelines are, number one, we will, with some very rare circumstances where we're saying this is a story with only one source, we do stories with multiple sources, and ideally these are original sources, and this is something that's really important. There's a lot of so-called news websites right now,
yes.
which are not really doing original news. They're rewriting what may be a source, a newspaper, and you'll see a number of online news sites which are basically just rewriting that story with one source. It can create the appearance that it's a widely sourced story, but there might only be one underlying source. So it's really important when you're reading a news article or listening to something to ask, what is the original source here? Am I listening to original reporting, or is this a sort of recharacterization of some other source? And try to stick to original sources.
And one of the reasons that finding an original source as opposed to rewriting is we all know that rewriting can subtly or sometimes just very blatantly restate the intent just by a choice of words. So yeah. when you say it's important to find an original source, where are some ways for the new I guess I call it the new news person, somebody who is kind of a novice, to understand how to track that original source?
Well, generally, if you're dealing with an honest rewriter of news, they will link to or cite the original source in their article.
Yes.
And that's the easiest way where you can click through. And you mentioned something that's really important, which is particularly through headline writing, the intent or truth of the original source can be misstated. There was just one recent example is that it was reported on a few news websites that the Chinese president told our Secretary of State that China is sort of on board with military action against North Korea. And when you actually clicked through to the original source, this was all based on our Secretary of State saying he thinks the Chinese president would be on board with military action against North Korea. And that's a very, very different situation. So the headline suggested one thing, but looking at the original source exposed that this is mere speculation on the behalf of our Secretary of State.
You know, that's a really interesting situation you've mentioned as well, and that's the way this administration plays fast and loose with facts, be they original or alternative facts. And so I find it refreshing to a small degree that the press is really working hard to keep on top of some of the And I want to say some of the distortions, half-truths, outright lies, and what have you. But even so, I still feel the media is not as alert as it should be. Any thoughts as to why? I mean, besides corporate leanings, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, usually there's not that much of an advantage to having the sort of awareness that you're talking about, or at least presenting it publicly. Yeah, there's much more to be gained, particularly in the short term, from sensationalized headlines and sort of superfluous comments that don't actually come from the original sources. And I think that unless we really create incentives for the type of reporting that I'm advocating, it's going to be tough to really push media in that direction. You have to, you know, we do live, I'm not a total free market guy by any means, but the free market of how one is able to present news stories is absolutely going to influence the type of news stories that we get.
David, we understand that a couple of things have come up in your studio as you prepare for your radio program in you know, less than an hour. So we want to respect you and your time. And wondering before we let you go, where do you think the movement, in air quotes here, is going? How do you think that progressives are organizing in this new era?
Well, I think that the sort of brightest point right now is that in a way that would not have happened had Hillary Clinton become president of the United States, progressives are much more acutely aware of what's going on politically and engaged. That's the sort of good starting point that we have right now. The next step is, how is that energy going to be channeled into action? And this is again why on my program I've been repeatedly making the point that this isn't about complaining about the president until the 2020 presidential election. It's time to get engaged now, whether it's the attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, whether it's the attempts that we are now seeing still in their early stages to change the way that taxes work in our country. I mean, there's no shortage of issues on which progressives can get engaged now, and that's really what the challenge is going to be. It's very easy to just think about the next presidential election and how much you don't like what the president's doing. It's much more difficult to sort of become and remain engaged in the day-to-day politics, which is really what affects people on an ongoing basis, and I think that will be the test for progressives.
Thank you so much for joining us, David Pacman, and hope everything works out for your program today. And for our listeners, you may view or listen to the David Pacman Show on a variety of platforms, radio, television, YouTube,
Internet,
Free Speech, DirecTV,
podcast, everything.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. We've been speaking with David Pacman, who is the host of the daily The David Pacman Show, which started as a community radio program and has since mm-hmm. then expanded.
Yes, it has. So, you know, for all of you KBOO programmers listening, you know, keep that dream alive for expansion. And, you know, one of the things that I found interesting about his program was the fact that he tries to have that sense of urgency and depth that you find with some of the other established channel news reporters. I won't say that he's like Rachel Maddow, but I will say that it's a similar effect in that you get another take on what's going on, and you get it in more than the air bite, sound bite, you know, TV image bite size portions.
Exactly. You know, earlier Camilio called and told us, reminded us that in the rally and march today, here in Portland, May Day. And so I'm wondering, in terms of, is this the opportunity to reclaim May Day? I saw something where the president did something around May Day, I guess, another attempt to reimagine what was originally International Workers' Day.
Yes.
That has been co-opted so often. I'm really glad that here in Oregon and Portland, for a number of years, there have been a number of organizations and people have sought to reclaim the origins and the meaning of May Day. And I know this May Day rally beginning at 12 p.m. at Szymanski Park, the focus will be on immigration rights. So many decades, and the origins of May Day here in the United States have been immigrants who have been a large part of the working class. And from the origins in the 19th centuries where immigrant workers rose up to address working conditions till today, where immigrants are struggling for their rightful place in our community, it's so important. And so I'm wondering, those of you who are listening, what does May Day mean to you, and what actions are you doing which advances the cause of working people? Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we will take your calls.
Yes. I'm curious as to how people would feel about trying to view, I guess, a May Day as the exclusive domain of workers historically and spreading it out. And what I'm curious as to how they feel about kind of shrinking back to that, because one of the challenges with any liberal or progressive leaning is that there seems to be a reluctance to have like a single issue. And if my issue is good and I feel that other people should see the tie-ins to another issue, well, you should support my issue as well as you support the, yours. And so I'm curious as to whether people are reluctant to let go of that multiple issue platform. I don't know, because in a way what you're saying is recapture. Yeah. The idea of a single platform.
Well, yes, indeed, and you know, oftentimes in any organizations, there's the effort to be on point, but also to recognize the importance of many issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Portland May Day Coalition's theme today is resist, rise up, resist, and unite. and I think I said. 12 p.m. I meant should have said 2 p.m. at Shemansky Park in downtown Portland. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. Let us know about your thoughts on the issues that Celeste raised and whether or not you are participating in actions today.
And just in case folks may know where, or excuse me, may not know where Shemansky Park is. That's at Southwest Park Avenue and Salmon Street. And Cecil did say it was downtown. And you can get more information if you go to the Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/MaydayPDX. And I see, did it go away?
I think it might have went away. But.
Oh, okay. Well, 503-231-8187. And we want to encourage you to call up. We know some folks are probably trying to make arrangements for their May Day celebration. And it might be that they don't want to call in this early because they're trying to get lunches packed and breakfast eaten and Hey, come on.
And if you're in Portland, I know that the public transportation is screwed up because of constructions. It'll take you longer to get
longer
where you want to go.
Yes. And you can't count on your various online and internet maps to map you right, because mine took me way out of the way. It says, this is the fastest route. Yeah.
Not today.
So just leave 4 hours early. You're guaranteed to get there on time.
and you will be there. But that's an opportunity to talk to your other people with
that's
you
right.
who are waiting, who are struggling to get where they want, to say, you know, this is a time to organize. In the meantime, let's go to a caller. Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I just wanted to offer some information. I know Celeste loves to get more information for listeners. At the Central Library, there is a display currently on May Day that I really encourage listeners to go check out. We have a lot of materials about the historical origins of May Day in the events of the Haymarket Massacre, but then just the broader influence of the workers' movement as this unifying revolutionary force in human history, given the place that workers have in the economy, have over the machinery of society, and how the, you know, as you already pointed out, the origins of May Day are in the immigrant community and in women organizing for liberation and equality. And so we got a ton of books and a lot of other kinds of material, you know, music and video too, on at the Central Library in the Science and Business Room on the second floor.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for that. Is there any chance you might be posting that to someplace on the internet?
You can look up the website, the Multnomah County website, and just find materials that way by like searching for May Day. You can put a book on hold and have it come closer to you. As far as like internet based, I would check out the Industrial Workers of the World website. It's just iww.org, and they, I think, for a lot of reasons, are kind of cultural bearers. They bore the most, as lots of other unions have, but not all of them as equally bear, you know, this role of remembering what had happened, what has happened to the working classes for the last several hundred years.
Great. Thank you so much for that information, Joe.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And you are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in points east and points south, 104.3. And everywhere, it's KBOO.FM. So one of the programs that was on the David Pakman show that I think people might find interesting is how more and more people are kind of catching the Trump administration in, what should we call them? I don't want to call them alternative facts.
Alternative facts.
Confusion.
Not facts, lies.
Yeah, lies. Okay. Lies, lies and damn lies. Well, oh, can I say lies on the air?
Well, yes.
Okay, good.
But the president did say that he didn't know the job was so hard before he got there.
Well, that's because it requires this really arcane concept called truthfulness. It does. If you listen to a recent program on the Pakman show, his co-hosts are discussing how the recent Associated Press interview with Trump sounded basically incoherent.
Yes.
And they characterized it as, if you listen to it, you hear the voice of someone who sounds like they're accustomed to hustling people, speaking fast, overspeaking, and confusing the issue and trying to close a deal. When you read it, it almost sounds as though you're encountering someone who either has a major mental deficit or cannot discern truth from lie, you know, from just various words falling out of his mouth and trying to backtrack and sounding as though there's, like I said, some form of dementia in effect. Why that's important for us to keep track of that is to have conversational material, conversational ammo for those moments when we start talking with our discouraged and dismayed Trump-supporting associates and friends, you know, to show how the deal is basically fraying and coming apart.
I think it is, and probably faster than people might have hoped for or thought it would happen. I think it's also important to recognize the machine, the political machine, not only of the individual of the president. I think if we focus so much on the individual of the president,
right,
we might lose ability to examine and critique and I don't want to say replace because reveal the system itself. I think also on this day it might be appropriate to look at the social and political structure that we are living in and mm-hmm. ask why did we reach this point in our history and what can we do to revise,
reset
the political system. So mm-hmm.
Well, that would bear looking at the administration, you know, as a whole, as a organism, and not just the president, as you mentioned, and looking at not just what's said, but the policies that are aimed for, and pointing out how, again, to our Trump-supporting associates, how they're not working. You know, what is that phrase? How's this working for you? You know, without rancor, of course.
Without, yeah. And at the same time, I would think that people would see that the emperor has no clothes, but polling data shows that those who voted for the president remained united in support. So I would say not only look at the executive branch of the federal government, but also look at the legislative and judicial branch.
Oh,
and as David Pacman has mentioned earlier, that we need to look beyond the national to the state and to the local, and where we might think we can have real impact. By the way, I know it may not be important to folks, but those in the Portland area at least have received their ballots for election this May. So wherever you are, you can be effective, whether it is on your local city council, local school board. Those are where decisions are made that have immediate impact on our lives. So it's important, I think, that as we continue to rally and march, that we continue to use the tools that we have in hand as long as we have it in hand.
You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area. Now, generally, one would take silences to assume that you got agreement, but I find that silence on a talk show means that I need to give the phone number again. And it's 503-231-8187. And we know we get people who sometimes are reluctant to call in when you get a guest that maybe has something really meaty to say, or if you think it's membership drive, and it's neither. At this point, our guest has left, and so that means that there is plenty of room for your thoughts and opinions on what the topic is or what our guest has said. And so...
And a question you would like the...
We still are curious as to how you are pulling in your information and working within your sphere of influence to help keep people updated on what's going on and keep them interested and maybe even build those bridges again that I frequently allude to needing with this really divisive election. The fact that family, friends have disowned each other over voting whichever way they did. You've heard lots of anecdotes about people saying that they've been defriended or unfriended on various social media platforms because they said they voted for Trump. And I maintain that you have to keep those connections so that you can build alliances and be less fragmented politically when the time comes for, when the time comes that the Trump supporters in your sphere are disappointed. And, well, it will happen. I mean, you've seen already what has occurred with the attempts to rebuild the Affordable Care Act. So I'm curious as to how people are working with fresh and new independent media or other forms of information to keep those bridges possible. 503-231-8187. And we'll go to Diana. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste. Good morning, Cecil. I always enjoy your program. And yes, there is the factor of trying to get practice and get to work, but I wanted to address the point that you were making earlier, Celeste, about whether or not it makes sense to retract to a single issue, so to speak, as we move forward. And I am here to say that we have a situation where we need to return to our basic union organizing, which my union, SCIU 503, does, which is, you know, an injury to one is an injury to all. And I don't believe we can deny, except to our detriment, that all of these issues are related. They are all and have to be addressed. We can't pretend otherwise. I love the idea of elevating the working class struggle to the forefront of May Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of putting, you know, the words working class out into the ether and in the front of marches and on the newspapers and the talk shows. But I don't think in reality we can separate the struggles of working people from the struggle for environmental justice, from the struggle to prevent the planet from burning up to a cinder, you know, from the Native American and people of color communities from being unduly impacted by both working issues, inability to organize because of the oppression and by the environmental damage that these communities suffer. So, yes, and we need to continue, in my view, with having an intersectional view of how to solve these problems. And the way we solve these problems, in my view, is, again, it's working people uniting. And my union has declared itself a sanctuary union, and we have a fund available for members who are facing immigration status challenges, whatever that is. And, you know, that is the kind of action that I think we have to take to continue to make progress, because we are the 99%.
Yes, we are. And I want to say I totally understand why we have multiple issue platforms. I also understand that for some people's perspective, it kind of weakens us. But I would ask that perhaps what we may want to do is figure out strategies where people can not necessarily let go of anything, but maybe organize by kind of taking on a few of the overlapping issues per group, so that things don't feel so diluted. Now, I know that when it comes to organizing, each group is going to have perhaps a flagship issue that they're going to work with, and then try to educate and encourage people to support all of the other related ones. But it seems for some reason that it confuses our group, or it confuses our message, I should say, to have all of these at once. How, as an organizer, would you suggest we kind of coalesce all of these very related and integrally connected issues into a more coherent talking point or set of talking points?
Well, again, you know, that takes more organizing and more organizing. But
okay.
For example, yesterday, no, that was Saturday, sorry, mm-hmm. I could not be at the march, but I came late to, you know, help clean up and just make connections and stuff, and helped the Wild Waters fellow tear down. There, you know, he said, we can be kind of wonky. Well, yeah, but we need all of those different pieces, and people in organizations have to focus on the mission of their organization and simultaneously build coalition with others so that we have, you know, like on Saturday, the focus was the environment, but mm-hmm. it was not solely the environment. It was, you know, the undue impact that environmental damage has had on communities of color and on working people. And so, you know, I think we have to focus
our energies in our individual groups' missions and form coalitions with other organizations, and then each action, whatever that is, whether it's a march or a conference or a petition campaign, whatever it is, has to have a top focus, but make it clear that whatever that action is supported by this vast array of people, you know, the 99%. And we have the power of the working class because we're the ones who do everything.
Yeah, yes.
But we just have to be communicating with each other and talking with each other and being willing to do all of the connection that it takes. And, you know, that's time consuming and we don't have a lot of time. So we just have to keep at it.
Well, thank you for the encouraging words, the support, and the insight on some of the challenges and successes that we can have by organizing, and especially organizing those who do. Yeah. Thank you so much for your call.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio with Celeste Carey. I am Cecil Prescott. Today is May Day. What are your thoughts? Let's go to our next caller. Ross, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste. I get to call because I don't know where are all the callers because
in traffic.
I can't get in because I can't get in the queue. but so good to hear you talking about our May Day. And yes, I do have plans for May Day. I'll answer that right off. I was visiting with one of my one of my neighbors last night, Salvador, and he says he's going down to march tomorrow to protest against our president, and his buddy Antonio is going also, and another fellow I don't remember his name says I'll come with you, so I'm going down. However, ironically, at 2 o'clock, another friend of theirs has gotten in trouble with the police somehow, and he's going to be arraigned at the courthouse. So I'm at 2 o'clock. So I'm probably going to slip away and go to the courthouse and see what's going on there. But it emphasizes there's a real human dimension to what we're talking about here, and labor rights and immigrant rights I tell you, I just think we have to be shoulder to shoulder with May Day, and with all the themes of May Day. And I don't care how many. In fact, I sort of feel that May Day has its own history that propels forward the notion of emphasis on the workers' struggles and rights. But bring in everybody, bring in all the issues. Let them all join in. That's my feeling. I, for years, as I brought up a family, celebrated May Day. I was kind of a secular person, but I always celebrated May Day. We had a maypole out in the front yard, and we had the neighborhood kids, and we also made it political, too. We told
Excellent.
The story of Haymarket, so I just entirely support the idea of getting out on May Day, even if it can be difficult at times, because you get down and you suddenly say, well, do I agree with these people over there and those people? No, let's just get together.
Excellent. Good
okay.
point. Good
Thank
points,
you.
Ross. Thank you for getting through
okay.
this morning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You all be blessed, and I want to hear some more callers.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Here on KBOO, More Talk Radio, this is Cecil Prescott. I'm with Celeste Carey, and today is May Day. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Mike.
Say, Cecil, man, when you're talking about Donald Trump and the fact that he, in your opinion, hasn't had very much success in 90 days, I want to remind you that politics is a marathon. It ain't a sprint.
Yes.
And so for people out there that looking for instant gratification, it ain't gonna happen. I mean, the reason I voted for Donald Trump because I like some of the issues. And when you guys talk about Sanctuary, I noticed that you guys are selective with, when people call in, they're selective with their sanctuary. I don't see them going down there around the courthouse when Americans are being sent to jail. A lady got arrested for having 42 cats. I didn't see nobody down there asking for sanctuary for her.
I think you're right on, Michael, and I agree with you. It's just so curious. I just happened to come across this meme just before you call. It says, sanctuary is only fully realized when there is sanctuary for everyone. Black, Muslim, LGBTQI, indigenous, women, youth, Jews, black, brown, elders, currently and formerly incarcerated, Latinx, disabled, poor, and working class. I agree with you there, Mike.
Well, then, you know, well, then only illegal immigrants are of Mexican descent is benefiting from the sanctuary concept.
That's not true.
And I agree with you that we need to expand our view of sanctuary where everyone is welcome. Okay?
And one last thing. This tired excuse about they're separating families. All you have to do is go to the American prison systems and look at all the Americans that's incarcerated that have been separated from their families. But
I agree. We agree with you, mm-hmm. Mike.
Totally.
All right. I think in what you were saying about extending our view of sanctuary and including all those who are separated from family. So, you know, workers of the world.
If we'd had more time,
know.
I would have asked him what was it like when he went down there to see the woman with the cats. I mean, what did he see? Yeah. But we have one more caller.
Good morning, Francis.
Hi. I agree with your last caller. It's kind of ironic to me that in the United States of America there is a need for sanctuary for anyone. And I agree that everyone in prison has already been separated from their families. When we talk about how to organize groups, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that we have a common force that we're resisting, and that's the oppression of corporate greed, and it is permeated throughout our country. And a whole lot of people feel the oppression. So more power to everyone who can attend for whatever reason, because until we shift the paradigm on what's important and how to make money, people are being oppressed. So,
hey, thank you.
All right, you guys take care.
Hey, thank you, Francis, and for take summarizing care. The theme of what it means to organize.
I have okay. nothing to add. That Bye-bye. Was perfect summary.
So you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. I am Cecil Prescott.
I am Celeste Carey, and we will hear you next week.
Good morning, it's 8:58, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up next is the Old Mole Variety Hour. We'll hear from Rand Wilson of Labor for Bernie. Labor Notes Director Mark Brenner talks about the pending threat of national right-to-work legislation and a report from Saturday's Climate March in Portland, next on KBOO.
Unhappy about the current political regime? Want to do something about it? Something social justice-related? And how do you find out about these things? Portland Resistance Calendar lets you know about a lot of these happening in the Portland area for the next week. It's a weekly podcast. It's a blog. It's a calendar. It's a floor cleaner. It's updated on Fridays. Learn more at kboo.fm/resist.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco on Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Journalist Chris Hedges and award-winning cartoonist Joe Sacco wrote the best-selling book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, together. Their talk includes a discussion about sacrifice zones, areas in America that have been offered up for exploitation in the name of profit, progress, and technological advancement. Again, that's Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco, Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. It's listener-supported community radio. It is time now for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm Denise Morris, your host for this May Day Monday. Patricia Kohlberg is our engineer. Labor Party, Labor Notes, and Labor Organizing. It is International Workers' Day.